Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our fourth podcast here at WG CompSci. My name is Mark Young, and I am your host. I'm a 15-year veteran of teaching high school computer science, and this podcast will continue to offer the latest and greatest in computer science and information technology. Before we begin, we'd like to proudly announce that our podcast has expanded in the locations where it can be found. Our podcasts can be found at Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Google Play Music Store, and Apple iTunes. This week, our podcast went live in Google Play Music, and we are super excited to welcome all of our Google users and those listening to us on Android devices. Welcome this week. Lastly, we'd like to remind our listeners that you can find visual video tutorials of Unity game design that can be found on YouTube. Again, on all of these various platforms, just search for Mark Young or WG CompSci to find us. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with Unity C# scripting and adding user interfaces to our games. Okay, so this week what we're talking about doing is adding user interfaces to Unity games. We've already had a couple of podcasts where we've talked about how to make game objects move and how to script them. And we'll have more in the future talking about how to animate game characters as well. But the focus this week is how do you add a user interface? Well, first off, UI for short, user interface, means that you're not adding necessarily anything into the game world. What you're doing is you're adding a skin on top of your game that allows you to display data. It could allow you to display a menu. It could indicate whether a game has been paused. It could be a layer that allows you to put an inventory up on the screen to where your game players could choose which weapon they want. It could be a map that pops up. Anything that's going to show up on top or overlay on top of your game world where you can actually choose or view data is referred to as a user interface. So that's what we're going to talk about this week is how to script that and how to put it together. I am going to make one bold assumption, and that is that you already have an active scene in Unity. It doesn't really matter if your scene has a game character that can run and jump on top of platforms, but just have a scene maybe with a background in it so that when you press play, you will see that background and then eventually your user interface show up on top of your game world. So we could make a menu, we could make a pause screen, and I think probably the easiest one to make between the two would be our pause screen. So let's walk through how to do that. The first thing we need to do is to go into Unity, into the hierarchy over in the left-hand side of most of your screens by default, and add a canvas. You could go through the Create menu and choose UE Canvas. I personally prefer just to right-click and choose UE Canvas. Either way, same thing. Unity gives you three or four different ways to achieve the same task. So once you have a canvas, you will notice over on the right-hand side of the screen in Unity, you have some options here. It talks to you about your canvas, how you want it to appear. It talks to you about how you want your canvas to maybe scale from a desktop game down to a mobile device. All of that gets a little bit more advanced and certainly beyond the scope of this week's podcast. So just note that the canvas is going to show up as essentially a skin or a layer on top of your game world. And when my students first add in a canvas, it looks a little bit strange to them because it just shows up in your game as a big empty rectangle, and it does have the move handle, so students think they have to move it into position. You really don't have to worry about any of that for beginners. It will automatically adjust and show up where we need it to. So just think of the canvas as basically the big, clear, transparent box that will show up on top of your game world and allow you to hold visual elements inside of it. Okay. So with your canvas selected in the hierarchy, we're going to right-click on it once more and say that we want to add a UE, let's see if I can find it on here, panel, UE panel. And I'm going to rename my UE panel to pause panel so that I know that this panel in my hierarchy is not one for an inventory. It's not a main menu screen or anything like that. This is a pause panel. So I've got my pause panel, and if I look over on the right-hand side, you see that it asks you, what is the source image for your panel? Well, it's up to you. Do you want your panel to have a background to it? Or do you want it to be transparent to where it just shows a word on the screen? I'll give you an example. You could make it to where when you press the pause button, which on most game controllers is the start button, if you press to pause, then like a whole different graphical screen pops up that gives you data, or just simply says pause with a color behind it. Completely up to you. If you intend for your pause screen to have a different image, which is going to be a two-dimensional image, even if it's a 3D game, what two-dimensional image would you want to put behind in your pause menu? Something you can think about. You can always come back to it if you don't have an idea as of right now. You will notice that once you add the pause panel into your canvas, your rectangle does show up with kind of a opaque, transparent, whitish, grayish box. It's up to you if you want to change that color and if you want to completely eliminate that color. I personally like having it slightly gray because when they press pause, they will still be able to see their game world, but it will be somewhat transparent with a little bit of white there, letting them know that, hey, you have paused the game. You're not quite in the fully colorful game world. If you did want to change the color, you would go over into the right panel in the inspector panel where it does say color. You could double click on color and a box will pop up. You could choose what color you want. Okay, so down in the bottom of that box, you'll see RGB values for red, green, and blue. And a certain composition of red, green, and blue is going to give you the exact color you're looking for. The one that my students always ask me about, and that is, what is A? If RGB is red, green, and blue, what is A? Well, A has to do with alpha. Alpha is essentially determining how much light is allowed to shine through any particular object, in this case our pause panel. So if you wanted to make it more opaque or more transparent, you can actually click inside the alpha box, and the darker it gets, so closer to the A, the more light that's allowed to shine through, and the closer you get to the 255 range, the less light that shines through, and it will be much more opaque or much more solid in color. So it's up to you. I like to make it to where I can still see my game world behind me, but I will also have a little bit of a color in front, letting them know they have essentially paused the game world. Completely up to you. Whether or not you want to choose a color, also completely up to you. Just make a choice, and when you're finished, close out the color box. Okay. So our next step then is to add the word or words that we want to appear inside our pause panel when they press the pause key. So what we're going to do is right click on the pause panel object in the hierarchy and say that we want to add a UE text. Okay, we say UE text, and you'll notice that once you do that, under the pause panel you have the word text. I am going to rename text pause text so that I know what the heck that text is. Okay, I have pause text, and over in the inspector with pause text selected, you will see there's a box where you can actually define what word do you want to appear inside your text box. So I'm going to rename that less than symbol, pause, all capital letters, greater than symbol. I'm just making it to where mine has symbols around it. Just something I like to do. You don't have to certainly do that. You can put whatever words you want in there to indicate pause. And then by zooming in a little bit in your game scene, you should be able to see the word pause. Okay, something that you can do here. Just like in a word processing application, you could go online, get a new font, put it in your assets folder, drag and drop it on top of font over in character in the inspector. You can change what style is available for that font. We can go through and change what size font we want. Something my students noticed this week is that if you make the font too big, it's too big for the box that is in the panel. It's an easy fix. With pause text selected, you can go up above in the inspector and say, change the width and height option. So just kind of play around with those numbers until the box is big enough to fit your word in it. And you can kind of change those a little bit if you feel like you've made it too big or too wide. You can certainly keep playing around with those numbers. Are the numbers critical? Well, if you're saying that you want to center something, if you want to center the word in your panel and you made the box really big, that empty space is going to be part of your word and will impact how it is centered. So you want to try to do the best you can playing around the numbers to get a box that is not too big, it's not too small, it's just a perfect fit for your word so that when you do play around the alignment, it is exactly what you wanted. Okay, so that takes care of putting our word on the screen. You can see there are some other options such as color to play around with. This hopefully goes without saying, but you probably want to make sure that you choose a color that contrasts with any color you chose for your panel. So if you chose black for your panel, you're probably not going to want to choose black for the text just so that it's simply readable. So pick something appropriate, and when you are finished with that step, we can leave the inspector. Okay, so that's going to take care of adding in our pause panel and our pause word. The next thing I want to talk about is not unique to user interfaces, but it is going to be important in our user interface tutorial, and that is tagging objects. What does it mean to tag an object? Well, if you notice over in your inspector, in your hierarchy, we have a canvas, we have a pause panel, and a pause text. And what we want to be able to do when we get to the scripting side is we want to say show all three of those items when they press the pause button, right? Make the canvas show up, make the pause panel with any optional color or background image show up, and certainly make our pause text show up. We could say in an if statement, hey, if they press pause, make the canvas, make the pause panel, make the pause text show up. But what if you had a whole lot of items? And certainly three is enough for me, but you may make an inventory that has 20, 30 items that show up on your panel. So what we do is we tag objects. And tagging them means that they will essentially be grouped together under the same name, and we can find them that way in C# script and not have to change their names in the hierarchy. So what we're going to do is click on Canvas in the hierarchy, go over into your inspector, and click on the drop-down box that says Untagged next to the word tag, and say that you want to add a tag. When the Add Tag option comes up, you're going to click the addition symbol and say that your new tag is going to be Show on Pause. Essentially, these are the items that you will show when you press the pause button. So just so that you stay consistent with this tutorial, I made Show on Pause all one word with no spaces, and I capitalized the S in Show, the O in On, and the P in Pause. Then press the Save button, and you will have made a new tag. Okay, now if I go over and I click on my canvas, I'm going to click on Tag and say Show on Pause. So I have added the Show on Pause tag to the canvas item. I will click on my pause panel and repeat. Go over and click on Tag in the inspector, Show on Pause. Go back over to the hierarchy, click on Pause Text, go back over to Tag, Show on Pause. So now each one of the three items, Canvas, Pause Panel, and Pause Text, have a tag added to them. This is really important anytime you want to group items together and simplify C# scripting. I do this later on in another tutorial that's posted on my YouTube channel, where we collect coins that we collided with in a Mario example, Super Mario Brothers. So rather than making it to where I have to detect every single coin in the hierarchy with a unique name and number, I just tag them all as coins. And so when one gets hit, that if statement's true regardless of which coin they hit. It's so much easier to tag items when referring to similar items or grouped items in a script. So that is going to take care of tagging, and we're going to save in Unity and head on down to the assets area until we can get ready to make a C# script. Okay, so what we're going to do next is we are going to make the C# script that says how the game controller is to turn the pause panel on and off. So down in my assets folder, if you have a scripts folder, you'll go inside it. Organizationally, I'd recommend making a scripts folder if you don't have one, but either way, right-click in your assets folder or scripts folder and say you want to create a C# script. And I called my C# script pause script. I make a habit, well, you're required to, but I make a habit of making it one word and uppercasing each new word in the name so it's easier to read. So if it's pause script, I capitalize the P, I capitalize the S. Press enter, and whenever you are ready, go ahead and double-click on your script. And double-clicking on a script from Unity connects to whichever integrated development environment you have attached to Unity. So if it's MonoDevelop on the Mac, or it's going to be Visual Studio on PC, just switch over to it and you will notice it will have opened your script and it's making a direct connection to Unity, which we talked about in last week's podcast. So take a second, depending on your computer speed, it may take a second from MonoDevelop on a Mac to load. I do notice it's much slower than Visual Studio when it comes to loading, but MonoDevelop on the Mac or Visual Studio on Windows is going to do the exact same task. Okay, now that we are in our programming environment, go to the very top where you see the using lines in your script. Using is unique to C# and C++. If we were in Java, these would be import statements. So essentially, this is bringing in libraries from the C# collection of libraries, and some of these are unique to Unity, that allows you to use types of classes, methods, and statements that are in these library books. So I'm going to add one up there that says using space Unity Engine, and both MonoDevelop and Visual Studio should be popping up suggestions so that you don't have to type as much and you can ensure you're typing it correctly, case sensitive. So using Unity scene management semicolon. And what that class is going to allow us to do is to access a scene if we want to. Now, that's going to be important later if you choose to do the optional part, but for right now, we'll just have that library variable in case you wanted to be able to switch between scenes. Okay, so inside my pause script, below the line that the pause script declaration is on, we're going to add our arrays and objects we're going to use. So I'm going to say game object. And again, use the application to help pop up suggestions so you get this correct, but it's capital G, capital O, one word. Then I'm going to put in two braces. Braces on the keyboard are right above the return key on the Mac or enter on a Windows computer. They look like half squares or half rectangles. They have very sharp 90 degree corners. Do not use the shift key and get braces. And certainly do not use less than or greater than. So it should look almost like you have a little rectangle, but it's got a notch at the top and the bottom. So game object, open and close brackets, space, and I'm going to call my array pause objects. Okay, so what is a game object array? Well, an array in general is a complex variable. We talked last week in our podcast about a perimeter variable, which means it's a variable that has certain restrictions as to what type of data it can hold. It can only hold one type of data, and it comes built into the language. Reference variables usually requires additional libraries and allows you to use mutator, accessor, and different types of custom methods to be able to create new objects. And so this is a complex variable, a third type. And a complex variable means it's more like a primitive, but it can hold multiple pieces of data aside from just one with the other variable types. The one exception is even though it can hold multiple pieces of data, they all have to be of the same type. So all floats, all ints, all doubles, all characters. In this case, this array is going to be able to hold on to multiple different game objects. So I always tell my students to add comments in their code so that if it's not 100% clear now, they're likely to forget it. So they can always go back and see what did each line of code do. So for this line, for the game object array, just note, two forward slashes allows you to add a comment in C#, and you can say, this line allows me to create an array that will hold on to my canvas, my pause panel, and my pause text. That's what that array is going to be for. Okay, once we've got the array in there, we are going to add an audio clip and an audio source. This will be optional, but it will allow you to have a sound effect when they see the pause screen and when they lose the pause screen. So if you think about Super Mario Brothers on the original NES system, if you press the start button, you'd hear that little sound and it would pause and then everything would freeze. And then you press start again and you hear that same sound effect and then you go back into the game. So I'm just going to show you how to do it and then it's up to you if you implement it. So on the next line below the array, I'll say public audio clip. Audio clip, one word, capital A, capital C, space, and then what do you want to call your audio clip? I call mine pause sound. Now, the reason I declared this audio clip public As we talked about in last week's podcast, that anytime you declare any variable object public, that means you can access it in multiple classes. And even more importantly, you will be able to access it in Unity. And that's going to be important because you're going to want to be able to drag and drop your sound effect onto an object in order for it to play. So that has to be public so that you can add the sound clip in Unity. We're going to go on the next line down and say private audio source. And the audio source's name, I just call it source. So an audio source is how the C# class will be able to take that clip and then be able to use it within this particular class. So the audio clip goes and gets it from Unity, the audio source gets it from the clip, and then because it's an audio source, it will be able to use a variety of methods in order to play the sound. I know that sounds a little bit complex. If you go into the Unity Learn library, they will go into even more detail about audio clips and audio sources, and I plan to in an upcoming podcast just to kind of better distinguish those two. Okay, so now we have everything we need declared. So what I'm going to do now is go into my start function and begin to set up everything that has to be initialized when the scene is loaded. Okay, as we suggested last week, the start function or method, whatever you want to call it, I tend to use them kind of interchangeably because it just depends on what programming language, but a method and function are the same thing. A start method here initializes or activates any of your objects, especially your reference objects, when the scene loads. It can also be used to give starting values to variables if you choose. So what I'm going to do inside my start function on the first available line is I'm going to say time, capital T, time dot time scale. Time scale after the period is a lowercase t capital S is equal to 1. And what that means, if you add a comment to the right, which I recommend, 2 forward slashes will add a comment. But what this means is that when the game starts, ensure that the time is at 100%. It's not delayed, it's not too fast, it's not too slow, it's at 100%. So we just put a 1. On the next line, I'm going to use my pause objects array. So I'll say pause objects equals, and what we're going to do is we're going to tell the script to communicate with Unity and go into Unity's hierarchy and find every single item in the hierarchy that has the show on pause tag that we did earlier. So how we do that is we say pause objects equals game object, that's a capital G, capital O, game object dot find objects with tag. And please use the pop-up. I know that's a lot of little characters to type if you're not a fast typer. Let Unity and C# help you ease some of these tasks. So it's just a game object that find objects with tag. Then parentheses, we're going to add an argument here and we're going to say, quote, show on pause. Now, show on pause needs to be spelled exactly the way you spelled it over in Unity. So if you made a spelling error, I always tell my students, if you make spelling errors on your variable names or your data, you just need to be a consistently bad speller. You just can't decide to spell it correctly one time and not another. So in our example, show on pause was all one word, capital S, capital O, capital P. Okay, so that line there, we'll go and find every single show on pause tagged item in the hierarchy and assign it to the array. That is really pretty powerful, and you'll be able to use arrays in Unity to do so many other things. Okay, on my next line down, we are going to call a function that we have not yet defined. And that tends to confuse some of my students. I do this just because I like to go top down. So type hide paused, capital H, capital P, all one word, open close parentheses, and press semicolon at the end. Okay, two things. The hide paused function is going to throw an error because hide paused is not a function that's built into this class. It's certainly not available from any of the libraries up in the using statements in lines 1 through 4. It's a custom function. You and I as programmers are able to make our own functions that we can put our own statements and our own logic in and call them whenever we want to. Just a real quick mention, to call a function means to use one that has already been pre-written with statements and logic inside of it. Okay, so we're not declaring hide function on this line, we are calling it. So you'll get an error now because it's looking for it in the class and it can't find it. So for now, just kind of ignore that error. it will go away when we define that hide function near the bottom of our class. Okay, on the next line, we are going to activate our audio source. So we are going to say source equals get component less than symbol audio source. I'm just going to arrow up and choose it from the list. Greater than symbol, open, close, parentheses, semicolon. So what that line does, as this script is being used in Unity, is it will look at the object that the script has been assigned to and look and see if there's any audio source available. Did you actually drag and drop an audio clip onto the same object that this script is assigned to? And if you did, it will find that sound effect, grab it, and be able to use it. Okay, so now that we've done that, we're going to go down into our update function and program what's going to happen every frame. What are we going to look for in order to determine when the pause panel should appear on the screen? Okay, so now we are inside the update function. This is a built-in function in the class, so you shouldn't have to add it unless you deleted it. And the update function checks the logic inside every single frame. Okay, so the start function that we just concluded a second ago only loads at the beginning of the scene in the first frame and activates any objects, whereas the update function checks frequently. So this is where we're going to check whether or not they have asked for the pause screen to appear. So I'm going to do that with an if statement, right? We use ifs to ask questions in programming. So we will say if, parentheses, capital I for input. So input dot get key down. I love the get key down method because you can use it for so many things to check which keys they pressed on the keyboard, which button they pressed on the mouse, which button they pressed on the gamepad. So input dot get key down, parentheses, quote, you can put in a letter, you can say key code dot and pick a letter on the keyboard or a number. I'm going to put inside my quotes joystick space button space 9 close parentheses semicolon. Okay, so joystick buttons can be a little tricky to determine on a gamepad, and you really kind of have to go to the edit menu in Unity and go down to input settings and find out what buttons correspond with which string words, joystick buttons 0 through 9. I did this for my students and kind of spent about 20 minutes and kind of went through and tried all of those, and I'll try to do another podcast later where you can determine which buttons correspond with which words. But on the gamepads that I have, the Logitech game controllers that look like PlayStation controllers, and the start button is joystick button 9. Okay, so on my if line, make sure that your if line does not end with a semicolon. It should end with a left-facing brace. That is a very common mistake for students because they hear me say if statement, and most times, 99% of the time, other than loops, when you say statement, it means it ends with a semicolon. This one does not. So it ends with a left-facing brace, and when you press enter, it should automatically add the corresponding right-facing brace. If you're getting any lines on that if statement, look and see, do you have two closing parentheses after the get key down method and its argument in quotes? That's another thing that students commonly forget, is that you have two parentheses for the get key down method, and then you need, after that, you need to close the brace at the beginning of the if. Okay, so inside here, between the open and closing brace of this if statement, this is referred to as a block of code. So the block of code is what gets executed if that if statement's condition in the parentheses is true. So if input.getKeyDown for joystick button 9 is true, then what do you want to have happen? Well, I'm going to check something else. I'm going to add what's known as a nested if, which means once the first if is true, check to see if the second one is true. Okay, so I'm going to say if, parentheses, capital time, so capital T-I-M-E, time dot time scale is equal to 1, close parentheses, open close brace. What I'm saying there is if they press the button on the keypad, the start button, and the current time is set to 100%, which means the game is not paused, then we want to pause the game. So inside that if statement, we're going to set up the logic for how to pause the game. So I'm going to say time dot time scale oops, type that correctly, time scale is equal to zero. So time dot time scale equal to zero is going to make it to where the delta time clock is no longer advancing, and that is going to pretty much shut down all of the physics in your game. Your character is not going to be able to move because movement is determined based on time. So that will shut down any of the physics activities in the game. On the next line down, I'm going to call my show paused function, and that's show pause capital S capital P, and then open close parentheses semicolon. Now you're going to get an error. Why are we getting an error on that one? Well, it's because show pause is another custom function that you and I have yet to produce. So we will do the hide pause and the show pause functions before we finish up this script. Okay, right below that line, I'm going to say source, which means we're talking about our audio file, source.play one shot, which means play this audio clip one time only, one shot. Open close parentheses, and inside the open close parentheses, this is where you need to type the name of your audio clip from above. In this case, our audio clip from above, we named it pause sound. So in C sharp, your audio source is now trying to take the audio clip from Unity, and it will play it one time. So if you want to do multiple sound effects, you would just go to the top and declare multiple audio clips, multiple audio sources, and make sure you give them different names, like pause sound 1, pause sound 2, source 1, source 2, so that it's not confusing and Unity knows which sound to play. Okay, so that's if they press pause and the game was not paused. I'm going to make, outside of that closing if brace, I'm going to add what's known as an else if, which means if the first if is not true, do this. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say else if time dot time scale is equal to zero. Again, we use double equals when we are comparing data, single equals when we're assigning. So equals equals zero, open close brace. So if the time is equal to zero would indicate, is the game paused right now? If the game's paused and they press the button, then we're going to call the hide paused function that we have yet to code. Okay, next line down we will say source.play one shot and bring up that same pause sound again. And once we get this typed up, I'll go through and I'll explain again what happened here. Okay, so inside our if statements, the top one right inside update, we're saying if they press the start button and currently the time is equal to one, which means there's no pause, then pause the game, play the sound effect. Then we add an else if that says if the time is equal to zero, which indicates the game is paused, then call the hide paused function, which will make everything disappear off the screen. It'll make the pause screen disappear. And then also play the sound effect to let them know that they have left the pause screen. Okay, so the most common error that a lot of my students run into here is forgetting to have the correct number of braces. And this will cause an error. Having a missing brace will actually sometimes give you false errors with your code you have downloaded. It'll say something's wrong at the bottom of your code when really it's not. It's because you're missing a brace, and that throws off all kinds of other logic as the compiler looks at it. So what I always do is I click on my closing braces and in MonoDevelop and Visual Studio, and it will highlight the opening brace to let you know if you closed each one. So if you click on the closing brace at the very bottom of the class, it should update, or sorry, it should highlight the one next to the class at the very top. If you click on the second to bottom brace, it should highlight the update functions brace. If you click on the third to bottom one, it should update the opening brace next to if input.getKeyDown. The fourth closing brace should match with the opening brace for the else if. So you should have four closing braces on the bottom if you've got all this working. I typically, when I'm teaching this in classes, I will have students add comments next to each of the closing braces, telling them which brace that is actually closing, so which if or which method's closing, so they don't get lost in all that code there. Okay, next up we will deal with our hide and pause functions, our custom functions necessary in order to make things appear or not appear. Okay, the last thing we need to do before we head back into Unity and make all of this come to life is we need to make those custom functions. And don't worry, they're very small and short, each one of them. But we need to make sure that we define our functions in the right place. So this, these two functions need to be inserted into the script before the last and second to last braces. And that's because it needs to be inside the class, these two functions, so therefore it has to be before the last brace, but it can't be before the second to last one because then it would be inside the update function. If you're new to object-oriented programming, just note, general rule, you cannot declare methods or functions inside of other methods or functions. You can call them and use them in other functions, but you can't declare a function inside of a function. So they all must be separately spaced out within your class and not declared inside of one another. Okay, so now above the second to last brace, I'm going to say public void show paused. And then put my parentheses to indicate open and close that this is going to be a method. The keyword void means that this is a mutator method. It will be used to change the value of data. It will return nothing, so it will not make any data available. So inside my public void show paused method, what I'm going to do is add a for each loop. So I'm going to say for each, and for each is one word in C sharp. So for each, by the way, is almost identical in logic to Java's enhanced for loop. It works the same way if you're a Java developer. Okay, so for each parenthesis, game object, one word, capital G, capital O, space G, in pause object. So I'll type it first, and then I'll explain what that means. Okay, so what that's doing, for each, is essentially a loop. And it's going to go one position at a time inside our pause objects array and analyze the data that's in each position. So almost think about our array as being multiple boxes side by side on an assembly line. We're going to open up each box and look and see what game object is inside of it. So if the show pause function is called inside the update function, it's going to go into the pause objects array, and we're going to make each one of these items visible on the screen. Okay, so we're going to say inside is a statement, g.setActive, parenthesis, true. And what that's going to do, this is the C-sharp scripting method for going into the hierarchy and checking, going over to the inspector and checking the box at the very top of the inspector that makes items visible or invisible. So setting something active to true means make it show up on the screen. Okay. That's all we have to do for the show pause function. You can copy and paste your show paused function and paste it right below and change it from show paused to hide paused. So just make sure you update the name of the second function to hide paused. And then when it says g.setActive, change true to false. So now if hide paused is called, it'll go into the array, find every object that's in it, and make them inactive. Or falsely as active so that they disappear. Okay, you can always go back and review these steps on this podcast if I went too quickly or you need to review them. But that concludes this part of setting up our C-sharp script. Please make sure before we head back over to Unity that you do save so that we have an up-to-date C-sharp script for Unity. All right, the last thing we need to do now is make this script work over in Unity and make it work with our panel. So our next and last step is to go over into the hierarchy and right-click and add an empty object. So just say create empty object, and I'm going to rename this object by slowly single-clicking, or you can right-click and rename, and I'm going to call this pause script. And why I'm doing this is I need, in order to make the script come to life, I need to attach it to an object in the game. I don't want to attach it to an existing character because I want to be able to distinctly make the pause script a separate object. That's going to be important down the road if I wanted to prefab this object so I wouldn't have to make a whole new pause script object for other scenes. We'll get into prefabs in another podcast, but just take my word for it, make it an empty game object, and then call it pause script. Okay, with pause script selected, drag and drop the actual pause script C# file in your assets folder and drag and drop it on top of the pause script object in the hierarchy. Okay, and that should, barring any kind of compile error, that should make, with the pause script item selected, that should make pause script appear in the inspector right below the transform properties. Okay, so you should see pause script checked. And the only thing we have left to do before we try this out is you have to add your sound file. And you'll see next to where it says pause sound, none audio clip. This is the audio clip that we declared publicly over in our C# script. And because we declared that variable or that object publicly, we can now actually see it in the inspector and drag and drop our sound file. There are a lot of websites you can go out to. I won't particularly point you in any one direction. Just go to Google and search for free game sounds, free Nintendo sounds, free Sega sounds, whatever. You can make your own sound. It will use an MP3, it'll use an MP4, it'll use an M4A, it'll use a WAV file. All those audio files work. When you get your audio file, drag and drop it into your inspector. Drag and drop it into your assets folder to bring it into the game. And then from there, you need to do one more thing, two more things technically. Once your sound file is in your game, drag and drop the sound file on top of your pause script. That will make the sound file show up in the inspector. It's really important that once your sound file is added to your pause script game object in the hierarchy, that you uncheck the item that says play on awake. Play on awake means that regardless if you ask for that sound file to play, it's going to play whenever the scene loads. I've really never had a need for that. This is background music, so I don't want the pause sound effect to appear when they load the scene, because then they're going to think that your users will think they pressed pause when they really didn't. So I uncheck that option, and then after I've done that, the very last step then is just to click and hold on the audio source name in the inspector and drag and drop it into the pause sound effect box that currently says none audio clip. Once you've done that, you can press play, and you will see now that your pause screen is invisible because the hide function is working, the hide pause function is working. Press your pause key that you scripted earlier. It should make the pause option show up. You should hear your sound effect. You should notice nothing in your world is moving. The characters can't move. Nothing's happening. Nobody can get hurt. You press that pause button again on your game controller or keypad, and that pause screen disappears and your game resumes. That is really all it takes to implement a pause screen. Next week we'll get into how do you make a main menu that will allow you to say one player, two players, show a map, start the game, quit the game, all of that. But it's really more of the same of this tutorial. I really hope that this user interface tutorial for Unity was helpful for you. Remember, you can go back and review earlier steps. And you can even pause down the podcast if you're using the Anchor app to go at a slower pace. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, we want to welcome our new Android users now that our podcast is available in the Google Play Store. Thank you, everybody, listening on SoundCloud and on Anchor FM. I hope you all have a great week. Take care, everybody.